We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
So it is.
It is.
The 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. Of the Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, WQAM.com. Tune in radio app, radio.com app. Probably the only place you can't listen is North Korea. You know, they've got 28 websites in North Korea. Kind of mind-blowing. Like, that's not the real internet. That's like Kim Jong-un is awesome.com is probably one of like the 28 websites they have over there. It's not freedom, my friends. It's not freedom over there. At least they can't launch a missile straight. That's kind of a relieving thing about these guys. 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ralph here on WQAM. What's up, Ralph?
Dono, man, hell, I can't think of a better way to spend Friday than listening to you on the radio.
I appreciate that, man.
Hey, well, being all honesty, you're the best on 560.
Thank you,
even
sir.
Even though me and you going to go at it, and we're about to go at it right now.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. All right, what's happening?
Let's get it on. Well, number one. Damn, what was number one? Hold on one second. Number one. Oh, man, I can't believe I'm having a brain freeze.
I'm already winning. I don't even know what we're arguing about, but I'm kicking your ass.
Yeah, you definitely are. Okay, well, let's jump quickly to number two. Then.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, you're talking about Kim Jong-un, all right? And let me put a mirror up to your face.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Jong-un in the United States. You fire a guy and won't allow him to play football because he don't stand up for the flag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your president comes on and tells everybody, hey, I did it. So, you know, Kim Jong-un don't look too much different than the United States.
Well, listen, I understand. Let me just make something clear. Ralph, you know that I'm not a shill for the U.S. government. I am extremely critical and suspicious of our own government, probably more than a healthy human being should be. But where I draw the line is, at least we've got freedom over here to the point where you don't get arrested and beaten to death for tearing down a banner. At least you don't have a government that keeps food away from its people. Like, it's not like you can say that the American government is not as sterling as they would like you to think, but I can't compare them to North Korea, my friend.
Well,
I can't.
Well, you don't beat them down, but you just take a couple of millions of dollars from them and stuff.
Well, listen, I mean, apples and oranges, man.
I lose a couple of million dollars.
We got problems over here, but it ain't North Korea. I can promise you that.
Of course, we got problems over here, but it's not North Korea. But we are the United States. We're the hallmark for democracy, freedom, justice, and equality throughout the world. And to be able to take a man's job over a little football game and have a president speak out and aid and abet taking his job over a little football game is horrendous when you measure it against North Korea. That's extremely bad. Now, when we move on to this baseball thing. We're looking at baseball, and you're promoting this baseball junk or whatever. But
I'm excited for it.
Oh, man, look, the average, if you take a school teacher, he couldn't afford to go see the Marlins play.
Right? It probably is the cheapest ticket in town. Like, I'm sure going to a Marlins game, it's a lot less than you'd pay for a Dolphins game or a Canes football game or a Heat game especially. Because guess what? They can't get anybody in the park. They got to lower the damn prices.
It doesn't matter. And we're still juxtaposing this to Kim Jong-un. Okay, poor school teacher can't afford to take his family to a baseball game, pay for parking, pay for food, sit down and have a good time or whatever. However, he built the stadium. That stadium was built on the backs of people who cannot afford, people who do not have
Right.
And you know what? I agree with you on. We won't even go at it on this one. With that taxpayer money, you're taking money away that they could have maybe they could have allotted that money to go to some of the firefighters and the school teachers. You're taking money out of their pockets. I'm with you on that.
And when was the last time Mickey paid some money? He got rings. He got championships. When was the last time he actually paid rent in that stadium? All of that's built on the backs of people. This is some Kim Jong-un stuff. And you're right. We're being distracted. We're not really taking care of business. You know, these owners are giving free stadiums, and then they can just jump up and leave whenever they want to. They don't have any commitment. Oh, and that was the thing. I can remember it now. That was a false narrative about Pat Riley. Pat Riley never did put the big three together. Dwayne Wade put the big three together. And LeBron James put the big three together. Pat never won anywhere where he put anything together. In New York, he already had players there. In L.A., he had players there.
Yeah, but Pat still had to trade. I know he didn't win championships with these guys, but he traded for Alonzo Mourning and Tim Hardaway. He drafted Dwayne Wade, who then helped him recruit LeBron and Chris Bosh. So it's not like Pat has done nothing. Pat is the best executive in the NBA. Okay, the guys in Golden State are kicking ass right now, but let's see them do it for 22 years the way that Pat Riley has. Pat Riley is not a god, but Pat Riley is a great man.
Pat is what you call privileged. He was most privileged in something. He got these opportunities. Matter of fact, he ran over that coach and stepped in. When that guy had the championship team here, Pat stepped out the booth and took over.
Stan Van Gundy? Well, listen, Stan Van Gundy couldn't handle those pressure situations. Pat needed to come in and clean up.
Yeah, Pat stole the ring.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? That team might have won without him. Pat would have still had a ring as an executive, though.
Donald, keep up the good work, baby, man. I just love the way you give your listeners the time. Giving them the opportunity to have that exchange and stuff. Not just me, but all the rest of them.
I love it, man.
That makes entertaining radio.
I appreciate you, sir. Have a nice weekend.
All right, brother.
And, you know, when I mentioned 28 websites in North Korea, I didn't make that number up. That's really how many websites they have. But a texter writes in, 28 websites in North Korea, that's like 20 more than they have in Cuba. Oh, yeah, can you check on that for me? Like how many? Because I'm sure the Cuban internet is a mess, too. Like they probably restrict everything. I would love to know how many websites they have there. It might even be less than 28. And even in China, they restrict the internet. It's not as bad, I don't think, as it is, you know, in like outright tyrannical spots like North Korea or Cuba. But I think even in China, they restrict the internet for people. Like they can't see the real internet. Are we even seeing the real internet? You wonder that sometimes because you always hear about this like dark internet, like the internet that exists like in the back alleys and corners of the web that we don't even know about. How much is our internet filtered?
It's called the dark web.
The dark web, yeah. But like the dark web, like that's where you go to do like bad things, right? Like that's where you go for the contraband.
Yeah, you siphon off people's social security numbers and credit cards.
Oh, jeez.
You buy illegal drugs and yeah, all that good stuff.
So like the fact that I've had my credit card number stolen so many times, is that the dark web? Are they responsible for that?
Yeah, that's some Russian hackers getting into some sort of Bank of America computer and taking, you know, millions of different numbers and credit cards and social security and just putting them out in a farm somewhere and just
give me the Russian internet. Like it seems like they can do anything. Like you get on a computer in Moscow, you can like hack Hillary Clinton's email, you can hack any bank in the world. What kind of internet do they have? I can't do any of that. Like I log on to Google Chrome, I forget all my passwords all the time. Like you try, like if you don't update like the password chain on Google, like I'll have like, it'll automatically come up, like it'll predict my password, but it's like two passwords ago. In Russia, you log on to any computer, you get the social security number of like every American politician immediately. That's the real internet there, my friends.
Well, there's an Alex Dono in Russia somewhere with all of your passwords and all of your information. So he's actually the one changing them.
I bet that bastard has hair too, the Alex Dono in Russia. I bet that guy has like a full head of hair. He's probably got like a German Shepherd. I grew up with a German Shepherd. I want that so bad. But no, he's like, listen, I do it right with your name. I have I use conditioner. I have so much hair on top of head. I have to actually use shampoo, conditioner. You have nothing down there in America. I have German Shepherd. I have my own space shuttle. I launched Sputnik for my space shuttle. I live your life better than you do. That's the Russian Alex Dono. He's living it up over here.
He's ripped, probably.
I bet his credit score is higher than mine. I'm rocking a 782. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of my 782. I don't know how you get to 850. That's the big enigma. 850 is the perfect credit score. I pay everything on time, keep my balances low, don't have any negative marks, yet I'm 68 points below the maximum. I don't get it. Like, if anybody's rocking an 850 credit score, teach me. Like, show me your ways. Like, I'm so angry that I don't have a perfect Uber passenger rating and I don't have a perfect credit score. I try so hard to do everything right, and still, I'm held back from the maximum. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. You know, August 26th is when you have the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight. You know, I want to play this again before the show is done. We can play that now if you can pull it up, Claudia, the promo audio from Showtime. I think they did a fantastic job from this. When we played this in the 6 o'clock hour, a texter said, oh, I'm shadow boxing in my truck after hearing that. So, and I get it that here's my take on the fight. I'm not expecting it to be good. I'm expecting it to be a one-sided affair in favor of Floyd Mayweather. He's the real boxer. Floyd Mayweather has boxed with other future Hall of Fame boxers and still embarrassed them. How is the MMA guy, good as he is in that sport, going to go into Floyd's sport and beat Mayweather? Anybody who thinks Conor McGregor is going to knock him out, you're off your rocker. If anybody thinks Big O is crazy for saying 52 heat wins, if you think Conor McGregor is beating Floyd Mayweather, you belong in an institution. But my take on the fight is, despite the fact I don't think it's going to be close, I'm still excited for it, man. Huge MMA fan, big boxing fan going back many years. I just think it's fun. Am I happy about the fact that it's going to probably cost $100? It is what it is, man. That's just reality. Watch it at a sports bar. Watch it at a friend's house. Pool your money together. But I think, to me, the spectacle and the circus, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think it's going to be good for both sports because you bring a lot of new eyes to the set. I've got no issue with it. But even if you're on the fence about it, even if you're thinking, oh, this is some travesty, you've got to admit, this promo, and obviously we can only play you the audio, not the video, but this promo from Showtime, pretty masterful.
I'm going to stay at the top, do what I want to, because when you speak boxing, you're speaking Mayweather.
I'm going to be ruthless in there. My fist is just going to break his whole face, and that's it.
You got MMA fighters calling me up. Man, stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
Let's not kid ourselves here who the big star is of this show. Got me, a slick, handsome Irish kid, and has climbed to the top of the game quicker than anyone else has done it.
This is not like a normal fight.
It's big, big
business.
Damn right about that.
Conor McGregor has said he will now turn all of his attention to fight only one man, and that is Floyd Money Mayweather.
I'm always looking to make history every single day.
The first man ever to hold two titles simultaneously.
And here we are again, more history.
This just puts it even more in stone. No one's even came close. I'll be immortalized after this.
No fighter in history has done what Floyd Mayweather has done.
Just that music, man. I would love just to walk down the street and hear that. If I could have my own theme music, it's fantastic. They do such a better job with these boxing promos than they used to. Even if you go back, like, because I remember the way that the UFC pay-per-view promos used to be. It was just cheesy. They had some narrator like, oh, Friday night, Chuck Liddell takes on Randy Couture, the battle for the ages, the UFC light heavyweight title. Like a cheesy narrator. Now the way that they do it, like, you've noticed that if you're a professional narrator, like, you are now like a toll booth operator, like you're useless, right? Because everybody's got SunPass, and now they don't even use narrators for stuff anymore. You just have clips of the guys talking, but the way you weave them together tells a story the way that promo told the story. Used to tell stories with these cheesy, deep voice narrators. Now they just pull sound bites of the actual fighters. And I think that's a much more effective way to promote these fights than just the big voice guy. Oh, on August 26th, Floyd Mayweather Jr., Conor McGregor. Like, you're not building any emotion with that the way you build it with that promo. Like, they do a much better job of that. But if you're part of the narrators union, your life sucks right now. Like, you've got nothing going on. No narrators anymore for anything. Like, you've got nothing going on these days. And so what I was getting at before we played the audio from that promo, that's courtesy of Showtime, by the way. So thank them for the great job there. I think I agree with this. Chuck Liddell, whose name I just mentioned, you know, former UFC champion, combat sports fan, he made a statement that I think makes a lot of sense, that Floyd Mayweather, in this fight with McGregor, look, Floyd Mayweather comes in with this reputation that he's very gifted, but he just coasts, right? Defensive fighter, doesn't take a lot of chances, outpoints you, doesn't really care about finishing fights, knocking people out. He's very he's great, but he's very careful. And, you know, he's going up against a fight where it's going up against an opponent where against Conor McGregor, it's going to be very hard for Floyd Mayweather to impress people, right? Because he's supposed to win. He's the huge betting favorite. He's supposed to win this fight. Chuck Liddell, listen to this quote. I don't think it's going to be that exciting of a fight, says Chuck. I don't think Floyd will come after him. Floyd will fight the fight the way he does, and normally that makes for a boring fight. I'd love to see him go after McGregor. If he wants to make a statement, he's got to knock him out early. I think that makes a lot of sense, because how does Floyd win publicly? If he wins a decision, like, what's that going to prove? That's what you're supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to have no problems with this guy who's never boxed before. Really, the only way for Floyd to win over fans, and even this may be tough, because still, at the end of the day, he's beating the guy who's never boxed before. But if he wants to make a statement, I'm with Chuck on this. He's got to knock him out. Like, Floyd has to finish this one. And to be 1,000% honest, I think he will. I don't think it's going to happen early in the fight, because the way that I see it going down is Floyd is going to wear him down with his technique. That McGregor, you have to understand, there's nothing more tiring than getting your ass kicked. Like, that's the way I see it in combat sports. That, and McGregor, his cardio is not that great to begin with. But if you're in there just getting picked apart by Mayweather for 6, 7, 8, 9 rounds, eventually you're going to be exhausted. And when he's fighting his fight and dictating the pace, that's always more tiring for the other guy. So I see Floyd, you know, I know everybody says, oh, it's going to go to a decision because Floyd never stops anybody. Well, that doesn't mean he's not going to win a TKO. I don't see him putting Conor away with one punch. Like, this is not going to be some Tyson stuff in there. Like, he's not going to throw an overhand right and knock him out cold. Floyd is going to pick him apart to the point where McGregor gets exhausted. Floyd knocks him down a couple times, I think later in the fight, 10th, 11th round. And he's going to win by TKO. So I don't expect it to go to the scorecards, but I also don't expect Floyd to make the statement that Chuck Liddell talked about. But I think Chuck is right. And honestly, I think Floyd has more power than people give him credit for. I think he chooses not to use that power because he fights more careful with counter punches, more defensive. So if Floyd, if he really wants to show us something on August 26th, go out there with guns blazing. I don't think he will, because I think he also respects McGregor's power. Now, if Floyd is fighting his fight, footwork and the head movement, if he's fighting his defensive style, I don't think McGregor lands a single clean punch. I can honestly say that. I don't think McGregor connects with one clean shot the entire fight. But if Floyd decides, you know what, I've got to knock this chump out and show people I'm the real boxer, and he takes some chances, I think he could knock him out, but I think Floyd will choose not to because he doesn't want to put his own chin at risk. I think he's going to be defensive enough to say that, you know what, if I take any risks in this fight, I leave my chin open. If I give this guy an opportunity to land a clean left hook, because that's McGregor's power side, he's a southpaw, and McGregor's got a lot of power in his punches, no question. Like, he doesn't have that clean boxing technique like Floyd has. But if Floyd gets careless, he leaves his chin open, McGregor could knock him out, no question about that. But, I mean, Claudio, I think Floyd is probably going to play it safer here, but if he really wanted to, I think he could knock McGregor out.
Dono, on the complete off chance, okay, just hear me out here, on the complete off chance that McGregor can land that left hook and just knock him out, would you be willing to put $50 on McGregor the night of the fight?
That's what a lot of people are doing.
Just as a hedge, just like, you know what? If hell freezes over and McGregor knocks out Mayweather, I put $50. It's not that big of a bet.
Yeah.
But my return is crazy.
It's just like gambling is just not in my DNA, like sports betting. So I hear a lot of people saying that. So how does that work? Like you put a couple hundred on Floyd, the safer bet, but then you also put 50 on McGregor just to hedge. I think that's what a lot of people are doing.
I'm going to check out the actual like odds. So I'll come back to you with that.
Yeah, check that out because... Yeah, I have heard, like, some people, the hedge makes more sense. Like, if you're already putting money on Mayweather, put a few bucks on Connor. That way, no matter what happens, you win. I guess I can understand that. I've had some people tell me, though, oh, Dono, I'm putting a little money on Connor because, oh, these odds are so great. If he wins, I'm banking it. That's still not the safe bet. Like, the safe bet is to put, even though the odds are not good, like, if you have to bet $700 or $800 just to win 100 back on Floyd Mayweather, that's still the safer bet because hell would have to freeze over for him to lose that fight. Dono, the only thing Mayweather cares about is winning and his bank account. He cares nada what you and I think or what Chuck Liddell thinks for that matter. Man, and that bank account's going to be looking sweet after that. If you think that the Kelly Olynyk is making too much money signing a $50 million deal, take a look at the over $150 million Floyd Mayweather is going to make for this one fight. It's going to be unbelievable. Texter writes in, first time Texter, also welcome aboard. I don't think anyone is discussing the possibility that if by chance McGregor gets a lucky punch and happens to stun Mayweather, what can it do to boxing in general, which is struggling as a sport, to say it kindly, to the casual fan? That's from Salty. I think what happens there, if by some act of God, Conor McGregor beats Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match, here's what happens. Immediately, the damage control is you look at Mayweather, you know, and honestly, like, I don't think it should kill boxing because I think one fight, how can that sink an entire sport? But I will bear with you here for the sake of answering the question. Here's what happens if Mayweather loses. This is what the boxing establishment will say. Well, this guy's 40. He's 40. He just came out of a two-year retirement. He's clearly lost it. This is not the same Floyd of 10 years ago. That if the Floyd Mayweather who, you know, beat Oscar De La Hoya in 2007, if the 30-year-old Floyd had shown up to this fight, this doesn't happen. This is an old man, right? This is not the guy that he was a few years ago. That's how you distance yourselves from that. You use Floyd's age as an escape clause. And the other part of it is, boxing fans can always say, well, we hated Floyd to begin with. He got his comeuppance here, right? That, oh, we're Triple G fans. We're Canelo fans now. We don't concern ourselves with Floyd. I don't think that would kill the sport because you can distance yourself from his age and there's enough other good things going on. I mean, if you really, you know, for the boxing purists out there, you want to focus on a more legitimate fight that should be dynamite September 16th when you get Canelo and Triple G in there in Las Vegas. That is going to be a showstopper. That's going to get the bad taste out of your mouth. If Floyd versus Connor ends up being a train wreck, less than a month later, 3 weeks later, you have Canelo, Triple G to look forward to. I think that will redeem that situation. So what are you seeing on the odds there?
So, Donna, we're here on Bovada, and McGregor's plus 400 for the fight. Mm-hmm. So basically, you put $50 down on McGregor, he wins, you win $200.
Not bad. Not bad. Well, what's the minus number for Mayweather?
600.
Okay, so that's gone even down a little bit from the last time I checked. I think he opened in like quadruple digits, and then it went down to like minus 700, minus 600 now.
If you put $50 on Floyd Mayweather to win, you win back $8.33.
Jeez. That's still the safer bet, though. I mean, yeah, the hedging thing I understand, right? You put a few hundred on Mayweather and you put $50 on Connor. No matter what happens, you win. I guess that's the way that will go for you. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560. Here's a good question. So are we giving Heat lifer Josh McRoberts a standing ovation in his first game back at the AAA? How do you react to that? And that's assuming McRoberts ever plays basketball again, right?
What's his jersey number?
I don't even know. Is it in the teens? I really have no idea off the top of my head.
Was it four?
I have no clue. You stumped me on that one. Because all I can remember is him sitting in the training room. How do I know what number this guy wears? He never plays. Are you going to retire his number? Is that what you're angling at here?
Four. Number four retired in the rafters next to Timmy, next to Zoe.
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
Next to Bosch.
Well, if you're retiring the number four, better chance that's for Caron Butler, not Josh McRoberts. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. The Alex Dono Show continues till 10 o'clock here on WQAM.
Miami Sports Radio 560.
Mentioned earlier that when I go to vacation in Japan, I'm leaving next Tuesday. I want to see if I can ever get tired of sushi. Like, I want to eat at least one portion of sushi every day. I love it. See if I ever get tired of it. One of my other goals over there is I want to eat some Cuban food in Japan. I've heard that's a thing there. Like, they've got some good Cuban restaurants there. A friend of me and my wife who's going, like, we're going on, like, a tour. She's coming with us. She's from Cuba. Like, she lived there till she was 19, 20 years old. She did some research on this, and apparently they've got, like, a handful of really good, authentic Cuban restaurants there. The reason why she found this was not so much for the food, but because, like me, she loves Cuban coffee. Like, coladas, I've got to have something strong. Colada, or I make espresso at home. I love me some strong coffee, and I don't think the Japanese share my love for strong coffee. But they've got Cuban restaurants over there. I guarantee you I'm going to be buying a colada every day. I want to eat some plantains and some like tostones and croquetas in Japan. I think that'd be awesome.
Donna, you know that this is a little known fact, but there is actually a Cuban in every country in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a Cuban. I'll give you a couple examples. One that I had myself as an experience.
Yeah.
And another one a friend told me about. So he told me that there's in Egypt a Cuban guy renting camels in the desert in Egypt.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that's one. Another one, I went to Hawaii 2011, and I found myself a Cuban guy in Maui who makes like artisanal pens, fountain pens.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, he's like, "Where are you from?" And I looked at him, I'm like, "From Miami." He's like, "I'm from Miami too. I went to Coral Park." Like, we started
awesome.
Talking like if it was all good. And yeah, so there's a Cuban in every country in the world.
Wow. That's something. Like, and are there some countries where there's literally only one?
Like, probably. Yeah.
How weird, like, you go to, like, okay, like Laos, like, there's one Cuban, but one guy in the entire country, and you've got to send another one there in case he dies, because that way you've got to keep up the number, right? If something happens to him, God forbid, you don't want to lose that stat of one Cuban in every country.
Exactly. I think we're struggling in North Korea. I think our guy in North Korea might be taken away there.
Oh, man, listen, he's getting bored. Like, you go to one website every day, and 28 days, you're done. That's tough. Wonder if there is like one. I guess there is at least one Cuban in North Korea. It's crazy, man. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Gordon in Miami. What's up, Gordo?
You want to tell your boy that Hawaii's in the United States, so if you're in
Florida, yeah, that's a fair point.
Hawaii,
like you were Hawaii still
is not a country.
You were still in America, bro, when the Cuban was in Hawaii.
I mean, jeez.
You stumped him.
I mean, I would give him a little break if he said Puerto Rico. You know what I mean?
It's a territory. It's a technicality.
Right. I've got the. I don't know. We're talking fight stuff, or it's amazing you could talk about this stuff. I'm like listening to you talk about this stuff, and it's amazing for a sport that where the only way it gets any attention is by some kind of like. You know, kind of freak type of boxing, you know, like manufactured kind of thing where worlds are colliding. That's the only way boxing is interesting anymore or fighting is interesting. I mean, it's amazing to me because you can't talk boxing. You can't talk about any of this stuff. I don't know how you do it. It's amazing. I mean, I got to give you credit.
I feel like maybe I waste a lot of time on it. Like, Gordo, hear me out for a second, because earlier in the show, I'm complaining because I stumble upon this news article, I swear it was by accident, about these realistic sex robots that they're making. And I'm wondering, like, who are the scientists working on this? Like, they're wasting so much time on this when they could be curing cancer. Maybe I waste too much time on the fight news when I should be focusing on other stuff.
know. Well, it's like anyone who talks about, you know, anyone who talks about baseball or talks about hockey is it's a total waste of time. I mean, not even the Big Zero talks about baseball or hockey. I mean, seriously.
You notice what the Big O's move is? I actually kind of respect the way he does this. He will spend 10 minutes talking about how he doesn't want to talk baseball. But is he talking baseball? Like, this is like a work of art the way he does this.
That's the way you talk about baseball.
That's true, isn't that kind of a technicality? Like, I'm going to spend 10 minutes talking about how I refuse to talk about baseball, and that's a segment.
So the only way you talk about baseball in Miami is you talk about how no one wants to talk about baseball. No one cares about it, so we talk about it that way. Or you just bash the owner.
Right.
You bash the politicians who allowed this stadium to go up that no one goes to. You know how many times I've been to that stadium since it's been up?
Zero?
Two.
Oh, okay.
Two times.
I undersold you. I think I've been there only like maybe four or five times, to be honest.
I mean, wow. You couldn't calculate my lack of interest in baseball, and you couldn't calculate my lack of interest in hockey. I mean, for all intents and purposes, the team's in Fort Myers. That's how far away it is for me. I just have any interest. I mean, just the only time I ever go to that stadium or that arena is for concerts.
You know what? They should move the Marlins to Fort Myers. Like, I feel like they'd really appreciate it there. My wife is from there. Gordo, they get excited. They have a minor league hockey team in Fort Myers, and it's not even like the good league. It's like the good league is the American Hockey League.
The lesser league,
it's the East Coast Hockey League, the ECHL. They've got this team over there, the Florida Everblades. It's a minor league hockey team. They love it over there because there's nothing else going on in Fort Myers.
Move them to Boca. Let them play in like some kind of like I don't know, some like JCC or something. You know, I don't know. I mean, just, you know, whatever. I mean, there's no interest in it. The only interest in this town, there's three things we care about: Dolphins, Hurricane football, Heat basketball, and I'll give you this. I love Jim Larrañaga. I love Canes basketball. But I mean, I don't know. So anyway, about the Heat, I think we're locked and loaded. I mean, listen, and I'll say this again. Gordon Hayward, the only guy that I was willing to stretch to get, if we could get someone, was Paul George. That was it. Because we needed a dynamic small forward who was proven. To me, Hayward had 1 year where he became something. And so he was the flavor for about a month or two. But I mean, I'd rather have the collective four guys. I'd rather have all the guys we have back. I mean, I kept saying this, you know, bring everyone, your tradable assets. They're not, listen, the worst contract we have right now is Tyler Johnson.
Yes, agreed. I thought should have matched that. Yeah. And you're right, because the thing, I like Gordon Hayward, but to give one guy $30 million and you're getting three players now at that price, it seems like a better deal.
What I would love to know, I don't know if the Heat would ever tell you this, was, all right, if we got him, what was the plan after that? Because you knew that they just couldn't get Gordon Hayward and go with Hayward, Dragic, and Whiteside. I would love to have known what the plan was. But at the end of the day, you know, when everyone talks about Riley missing on free agency and stuff like that, Riley's biggest move since he's been with the Heat are he traded Glenn Rice for Alonzo Mourning.
Right.
He traded Lamar Odom and Caron Butler and Brian Grant for Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, the biggest moves he made, you know, he got Hardaway.
And that was a trade too, wasn't it? Hardaway was a trade also.
And we got Gatling in that trade. Those are the moves that's when Riley's great. You know, so he's going to find the guy that a team doesn't want anymore, doesn't want to pay. And we can give them assets like Tyler Johnson and Justice Winslow, you know, guys like that, and take that guy. Because that's the only way we're going to get players now. I think we've all conceded the fact that it's just impossible to here's the other problem, too. We don't have anyone to go and recruit. You know, everyone complained about how we didn't get Durant. You know, we didn't have a guy to go in there and get him. You know, we didn't have Dwayne Wade. We didn't come in with anybody.
Well, technically we did, but Dwayne Wade was, I guess, too salty to recruit KD because he was waiting by the phone. He was mad. Yeah, he was a diva. He was mad that Riley hadn't called him yet.
In order to recruit players like that, you've got to come in with players. When Golden State got Durant, they came in with the whole team.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have any like superstars on the team that come play with me.
I got to let you run.
You're the man.
I appreciate the call, Gordo. I thought I would love to something he was saying about where to move the Marlins. I would love to see the headline tomorrow. Derek Jeter buys Marlins, moves team to Boca JCC. How funny would that be? Yeah, we can't sell out Marlins Park, but we think we can sell out the public park in Fort Myers, Florida. We think we could sell out that spot. That would be something. I would love that.
Don, I have to get back at Gordon because, first of all, I didn't say that Hawaii was a different country.
That's true. He was just ripping on you.
I was just saying that in my experience from going to Hawaii, you wouldn't really find a Cuban there, and I did. So you want to roll back the tape, we can do that.
That's true. Yeah, I thought it was funny the way he was ripping you, but it was a little unfounded because you didn't say Hawaii was another country. That is fair. That is fair.
Guy makes me look like Falero out here.
I want more Hawaiians over here because when I was in California last summer, like they've got like all these Hawaiian restaurants over there, and it's pretty good stuff, like the tuna poke, like some of the, like, we need more of that, like, because I don't think like there's enough Hawaiians over here to bring the authentic Hawaiian cuisine. So we need to start shipping people into South Florida from more exotic places. Like, we gotta, and listen, this is a much more diverse area than most, right? Like, I would say Miami is more diverse than probably 95% of the other cities in America. But what we need more people to open up like really good, authentic Japanese restaurants, Italian restaurants, because we got a few that are okay, but they're very much on the expensive side, right? Because I've been to like some pretty authentic Italian spots over the years, like South Beach, but I want like more like affordable Italian food, because when you go to the affordable places, like you're going to Carrabba's, and it's not the same thing. So we need more like middle class Italian type food over here instead of the only authentic places being expensive. I think we need more authentic Chinese. I don't think we have enough of that. We need more diversity here. Like, we got a lot of things covered. Amazing Latin American food, including some pretty good Brazilian food down here. You know, we've got, a couple decent German restaurants here and there, a couple good Italian restaurants, but like I said, very pricey. But I think we need like more, we need to start bringing in more people from various diverse, we need more of the Hawaiian stuff. We need more of the quality Asian food. We need to get on this, man. I want to start an initiative. If I was mayor, I would waste all of our money bringing in people from various countries. Like, more, we need better Korean barbecue down here. Like, we need to bring in more South Koreans, preferably, because I don't want to line Kim Jong-un's pockets. But we need to get on this, man. By the way, you know, I humor Gordo a little bit. You know that I disagree with what he says about hockey. I care about hockey because we've had a couple of texters say, oh, hang up on this guy. We love hockey. And listen, you know that I love the Panthers. Like, I humor him a little bit. Gordon tends to think that what he likes or what he cares about is what everybody cares about. Like, he speaks for everybody. It's fine. You don't like hockey. You don't care about baseball. I can understand that. That's your opinion. But you know that I love hockey. I don't want to move our team to Fort Myers. I want to keep them here. If the Marlins moved to Fort Myers, though, I could live with that. I could sleep. I could sleep at night if that happened. You know, another thing, speaking of sleeping at night, I had to get a copy of my prescriptions because I've heard that in Japan, they're very strict about like foreigners bringing in medications because they have like a lot of restrictions there. So I don't want customs confiscating my Ambien when I get there. So I had to email my doctor to send me a copy of my prescription, because the last thing that I want is to go there and not being able to sleep for 12 days, because the jet lag's going to be bad enough, right? So apparently they think that every American that comes in, like, we're all like Walter White, like we're trying to, like, I got meth in my suitcase, bro. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Like, I'm going to try to smuggle like 13 Ambiens into the country, is if I'm coming over to make some big drug deal on the streets. I got 13 Ambien for you. You can live for weeks, 13 days supply here for you. So I got to make sure I bring a copy of my prescription in. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. The Alex Dono Show concludes next here on WQAM.
Live from the Ed Morse Play Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdMorseSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dono Show on South Florida's sports leader. 25 years and counting.
Miami Sports Radio, WQAM.
Some details in front of me, courtesy of our friend Manny Navarro from the Miami Herald on Andy Ellisberg's brilliance, the salary cap math. Does Andy Ellisberg get enough credit? Does anybody outside of the 305 and maybe the 954 have any idea who the Miami Heat's GM slash capologist Andy Ellisberg is? The guy gets zero credit whatsoever. That magic calculator, man. I always say this, the Miami Heat's success is a combination of Pat Riley's vision and Andy Ellisberg's math, and also Eric Spoelstra's coaching, to be fair. But here, the Heat solve salary cap math, bring back Ellington on day that James Johnson, Waiters, and Olynyk sign hefty deals. In the end, the Miami Heat found a way to make all the cap numbers work and bring Wayne Ellington back, Manny Navarro writes. On a busy Friday, a day after Chris Bosh officially cleared waivers, adding $25.3 million to the team's salary cap, Miami finalized a deal to send often injured forward Josh McRoberts to Dallas. Brilliant move to clear the necessary cap space to bring its leading three-point shooter back, picking up the second year of his contract for $6.27 million before the 11:59 p.m. deadline. The Heat had to send its 2023 second-round pick and cash to the Dallas Mavericks in exchange for second-year reserve center A.J. Hammonds to complete the move. So I'd love to know, when's the next year that the Heat have a second-round pick? 2030? You've dealt away everything. And, you know, 20 second-round picks in the NBA are, with a few exceptions here and there, virtually worthless. Like, you rarely ever get NBA-caliber players in the second round. But, man, we may not have another second-round pick until, like, a time when the earth has been burned up by an enlarging sun. Like, it may not even be around the next time we have a second round pick. In addition to bringing back Ellington, the Heat announced the signings of former Celtics 7-footer Kelly Olynyk and the re-signing of forward James Johnson and guard Dion Waiters. Two integral parts. Is it integral or integral? I don't know. Two integral parts to last season's 30-11 finish over the second half of the season. Olynyk, 26, was the first to sign his contract, 4 years, $50 million, on Friday. Waiters, 25, signed for 4 years, $52 million, and Johnson, 30, signed for 4 years, $60 million. Agent Mark Bartlestein said Johnson's contract is fully guaranteed. We talked about this earlier, with a player option for the final season. So you got to respect this. You got to respect it. Whether or not you think that Pat Riley hit a home run or just hit a handful of singles, like, you have to respect the fact that not only did you add a solid role player, 7-footer, in Kelly Olynyk to the mix, but you kept everybody else. Like, that's the magic of this, that you were able to add Kelly Olynyk, who I didn't realize would be so controversial, but I guess you have a problem with him being slightly unathletic and slightly dirty. And, you know, he got into it with Hassan Whiteside a couple of years ago. Like, you've got some longstanding issue with this man, who's got a nickname that I can't say on the radio because I'll get fired. Like, you've got issues with this guy, but how can you complain? And I realize you have issues with the 4 years, $50 million, but it's still a tradable deal. But how can you complain about adding Kelly Olynyk when you kept everybody else? Because I'd be mad too. If it was Kelly Olynyk or James Johnson, I'd rather have James Johnson, but you got them both. You know, if it was Kelly Olynyk or your top three-point shooter, Wayne Ellington, I'd have to think about it, but you got both. It doesn't matter if it was Kelly Olynyk or Dion Waiters. Of course, I want Dion Waiters over Kelly Olynyk, but you got them all. Like, that's the magic of this here, that Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg found a way to make the math work. I think that is worth celebrating. It might not be pots and pans worthy, but it's worth some kind of a celebration. Yeah, I was talking about the Russian internet earlier, because I can imagine the Russian internet, that's the one with no restrictions. You log on to a computer in that country, you're immediately on Hillary Clinton's email server. It's magic, whatever they're doing over there. How do you get into this Russian internet? Because have you ever thought about this? Because we're always told as Americans, 100% free, right? 100% liberty here, that we access the entire internet. We're told that, and I guess we have no option but to believe it. But what if our internet is restricted? We don't even realize it. Think about that. Because, okay, on the news, they said my internet is not restricted. How do I know they're not lying to me? How do I know that's not fake news? Now I sound like the guy in the White House. I don't know if I want to do that. But if you log on a computer in Moscow, you immediately hack every American's computer. I feel like that's the real internet over there. Like, they're able to do things in Russia we cannot even comprehend. I get a tweet from Jesse Lockhart. You play Tetris in order to log into the Russian internet. Boom, I'm in. I kicked ass on Tetris. I used to play it on Game Boy. It was weird that I was a whiz on Game Boy Tetris, but when I tried to play it on the Nintendo console, I was terrible at it. It didn't translate for me. It was the reverse for Dr. Mario. I was excellent at Nintendo, like the console, the NES. I was excellent at Dr. Mario on NES. Tried to play the Game Boy version, dreadful. Very weird the way my skills worked. And when I was a little kid, I used to cheat at Duck Hunt. I'm not proud of it. You know, like you're 6 years old, 5 years old, you put the gun right up to the screen, you kill every duck. It's not the right way to play. You stand 10 feet away from the screen. It was not very ethical the way that I did that, kind of like the Russian internet, very unethical. Want to thank those who listened in, texted in, called in tonight. On Monday, I will be on the air Monday. Hopefully you don't miss it because I will be on in the morning show. Zach Krantz and I are hosting the Joe Rose Show. Joe's vacation continues. So Zachy Boy and I are going to be on the air 6 to 10 a.m. on Monday morning. And then that's the last time you'll hear me for a couple weeks because I'm going to Asia the next day. I'll be out for about 2 weeks. So Monday morning, make sure you tune in 6 a.m. right here on Miami Sports Radio 560. By the way, you're not going to forget this, Kaladiude. Join Big O on Monday as he broadcasts 4 straight days at SEC Football Media Days in Hoover, Alabama. That's a big thing going on Monday. You'll hear from Jim McElwain, Nick Saban, and others as they preview the 2017 college football season. It's all part of the Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Florida Prepaid College Plans in association with Clutch Insurance and brought to you in part by Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC. I'll talk to you guys Monday morning here on WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.